How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast. I hope you're doing well. My name's Omer. Joining me is my co-host, Mr. Kai Bennett. You right, pal?
Who's Kai?
You're here, mate. Welcome back.
good to be back, mate, actually. I tuned into the pod the other day. Mickey said there was a little funny bit at the end, so I thought, well, I'll listen to the whole one and then I'll tune into the little comment at the end. But yeah, it was good, mate. It was good.
You doing well?
Yeah, I'm all good, man. I'm all good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Look forward to your trip to the Medeski Stadium on Saturday. Is it called the Medeski Stadium these days?
No, it's called the Select Car Leasing Stadium. What a mouthful.
Fucking bollocks, that. That whole stuff is bollocks. You spoke about this on another podcast a few times before, I'm sure. Stadium renamings. To me, it's the Medeski Stadium. Look forward to it, of course.
The Den is the best name, though.
Was that sorry?
The Den's the best name.
Of course, the Den will only be the name as well. One day it'll be called what? Maybe the Checker Trade Den or something.
the Carling Den,
or the Manzies Den. I think that's the only one that probably go down well with all fans. The Manzies Den. Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, guys, if you're new around here, this is That Mill Podcast. We'll be talking in length about our game on Saturday against Reading, and also talk about some general misc news from the Den involving Alex Aldridge returning to the Den as director of football / director of recruitment. We'll go obviously into other depths of injuries, updates, hopefully some positive ones to talk about as well. And yeah, I think that's probably about it. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe, like the video, and obviously give us some feedback and comments, good and bad. I think I've got a bit of stick on the last show in the comments on YouTube regarding my thoughts on Rowett. I guess, Kai, we'll go straight into it now. Why not? Should we address that now? In your opinion, let's go. Because I love all the comments, by the way, good and bad. And I don't even take it in a bad way if it's a criticism of what I've said. Because I think I'm quite keen to say, you know, we do this podcast, we put our thoughts out there. And at times, it is in the heat of the moment, off the back of disappointing results, including that one against Blackpool that sticks in the memory after. And I think that was, for me at the time, almost the final nail in the coffin for him. But the turnaround from the manager and the team in general for the last four games in particular, it's been great to see, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I just think I was talking about it a little bit earlier, and I think potentially it's down to a little bit more freedom that the players have allowed to, you know, players have allowed themselves almost, like, you know, with after the Fulham game, Rowett, you know, said 17 games to go, you know, 17 matches to go, and we'll look to enjoy them. And I think the players are enjoying their football, and I think that may be the difference. They're just sort of allowing themselves to express themselves a bit more. And I think we're seeing the benefits of that. We're seeing that we have got a good team and we can let the players play with a bit more freedom and they'll get results for us.
No, definitely. I think, obviously, Fulham, after that game, he kind of came out with the words of, you know, 17 games left to go. And after that point, we've obviously won the next four. And I think he kind of said he was laying a gauntlet down to the players. I do feel like I said it in the last show and I think it came across in quite... not a critical tone, but, you know, looking for the kind of devil's advocate to the story, like I said at the time. You know, I do feel like he's been forced to play this card. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. You know, Bury's in the team on merit to now to an extent, because obviously Bennett Kofobi's back, and I'd be surprised if Bury's dropped on Saturday, for example. Obviously, Bennett is now injured as well, so Bury should be playing. Obviously, you know, the likes of Mitchell at first wasn't fancied in midfield at the start of the season, but, you know, injuries made him have that chance in midfield, and he's kept his shirt. I guess, you know, circumstantial is quite a thing in football. But I can't fault the manager in that sense where, you know, we're now on the run and it's the players and the manager seem to be in unison at the moment with the way we're playing. And what feels like it's changed to me, mate, is defensive resilience has come back, but also we're playing more on the front foot, I feel like. And I feel like that's only going to do us a world of good in games like hopefully on Saturday.
Yeah, we've almost taken the brake off, haven't we? We've almost let take the handbrake off and let the players, you know, well, express themselves. And I think it's doing a really good job at the moment. We've got a really good side in terms of quality, and, you know, in terms of, like, you know, without all the injuries, that the depth of the squad I think is quite good. Mm-hmm. If you've got a full squad, I mean, you've got lots to choose from off the bench as well. Obviously, injuries have hindered us a little bit, well, quite a lot this season. We've been really unlucky. I think the other day Hutchinson and Mason Bennett coming off was the 22nd injury we've had all season. So okay. We've had 22 injuries, but it's obviously some to the same player. But it's an unreal amount of injuries.
Isn't the stat, so it's buying, isn't it every outfield player but for Billy Mitchell have had an injury this season?
Yeah, it is that, wow. Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? It's absolutely crazy. Like, if you think about it, like, even players that never get injured, like Jeb Wallace or mm-hmm. Jake Cooper, are still picking up injuries. Yeah. I mean, before last year, I know Hutch got injured obviously last year and the classic one of taking out the bins. But you know they don't really get injured, them players. You know, Coops went on that mad run, what, 130 games. Jeb Wallace is always seems to play through like injections or anything to basically get on the pitch. So yeah, it's been a weird season in terms of that. We don't actually know why. I'm assuming that Mill's priority is to find out why, because obviously we don't want that again this season. But it'll be interesting to see why that is, if you can come to a conclusion. But maybe it's just the fact that the players are putting in a lot of hard work, and maybe their recovery is not the best, but potentially, I don't know. I mean, someone said the other day, I think it was Gary actually, after the game, Gary Rowett, he said that after the Sheffield United game, he said that the training, the ground at the Den right now, can't remember which way it was, but the training ground pitch is very soft and the Den pitch is very hard, or vice versa. I can't remember which way he said it. And
Right.
maybe that's the diff. Maybe that's what's happening here. Like, they're used to playing on one surface and they go into the Den playing on another, and then they come back and playing on another, and it's just sort of, you know, messing them up a little bit. And it's just, you know, obviously everyone likes a bit of a like, you know, continuity, and maybe the difference in pitch at the Den and the training ground is slightly different. Maybe that's why they're picking up injuries. Like, that's what I think. That's what he was alluding to. But yeah, it's madness. It's mad. But hopefully we can get out of the rut in terms of injuries and get start getting players back. And once we do, I mean, we've had good news on Bennett and Hutch today, haven't we? So that's better news than I was expecting, especially on Hutch after he really did hobble off. Bennett seems to always do these little 10, 7 to 10 day injuries, so I wasn't surprised to hear that. But Hutch is really good news.
Yeah, I mean, you literally took the words out of my mouth there with Hutch. Obviously, I think I put a tweet out earlier today that I think with him in the team, we can see something like 0.93 goals per game on average, or 9.96. And then without Hutch, it's 1.11. There's obviously a clear difference there. He missed 9 games so far this season, which, yeah, I agree with you. He's normally an ever-present. I think at first when he came to the club, I remember him breaking down with injuries at the time, and you know he wasn't used to playing a significant amount of games, but he has been an ever-dependent in the side. And he is a big miss when he's not there. I think I put it down to, I think we said before on this show, Kai, maybe a year or so ago, you know, we say we miss him when he's gone. Like, we don't really appreciate him as much when he's there. I think recently I've started to appreciate him a lot more, because he's just an ever-present and consistent with his tackles. And, you know, he's not too bad at the ball at his feet either. But I feel like he's one of those players you miss more when he's out of the team, and you kind of underappreciate him when he's in the team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think what he is so good at, Hutchinson, is reading the play. The amount of times this season, last season, since Gary's probably come in, I don't think he did it so much under Neil Harris, but I don't know whether it's a bit of one of them things that Gary's tried to get into him and Coops, I don't know. But he steps out of defence so well to almost like mark his defender instead, when he might have used to maybe shove the defender and grab hold of him. Now he's looking just to try and get in front of him and nip in before the guy gets the ball, or the striker or player gets the ball. And he's doing that so well. And as soon as he does that, the opposition on the back foot, because he's got the ball, obviously a couple of their strikers, wingers, a player making runs, and they've gone. And then, you know, we've got an overload, and it's dangerous. And Hutchinson has done so well with that. I mean, he started the goal for the first goal for QPR against QPR, didn't he, with Jed pinging one over to Malone into Bennett. I remember last year, the ball that he played into Thompson, I think it was against Birmingham at home, 2-0. That ball was outrageous, the way he got the ball down the flank and just ran with it basically and put a great ball in. And yeah, Hutch has done so well under, you know, since he's come to the club. And I think especially the last couple of years, we've really started to see Hutch flourish. And, you know, I think Hutch flourishes in the five at the back because he has allowed that more freedom, a bit more freedom to go forward.
Definitely. And I think that maybe the discredit I'm saying where he's not really pushing inside, he brings other players, you know, Cooper scores goals, gets the headlines, obviously, for that. Murray Wallace seems to be doing Cruyff turns every other game and, you know, seems to stand out a bit more for that reason as well. But I do think he's an ever-present, and he's probably that leader by example as well, which we always talk about. So I suppose looking to Saturday, Kaido, we've got a ready-made replacement on the bench in Dan Ballard. I mean, first, it'd be great to see him back in the side, and hopefully he's fit to play Saturday. I've not heard of any injury news to him just yet, but let's not rule anything out at this point. It's going to be an interesting one, but in a weird way, it is a good challenge for Ballard to come into the side, and hopefully brings, you know, a bit of confidence to his game like he had before his injury. And he looks all right, didn't he, against Sheffield United when he came on for that half-hour spell. So hopefully he can come in and hit the ground running, and maybe feel like we won't miss Hutchinson for that 3 week period.
No, definitely. I think Ballard is a ready-made replacement for Hutch. Only thing with it is this is what seems to be the bit of a thing about our season. If we get one back, we lose one. You know, we get Ballard back, we lose Hutch. We get Bennett back, we lose Bennett. You know, and it's one of them things in the season. And we were saying earlier how we expect Tyler to start. Do expect Bennett to start because of that. But we've going back to Ballard. I think Ballard was so key in probably the first. Well, when did he get injured? I think he got injured December, didn't he? So he was so key up until then. Saturday comes on and he looks like he's never been gone, doesn't he? The fact that he
Definitely.
won so many in the air, he was just brilliant. Everything he did was class. And I was really impressed with him again on Saturday because come back from an injury like he had. I mean, it's not the worst in the injury someone can have, but it's still quite a long-term injury. He was out for two, I think it was 8, 10 weeks. It's still a good time out, you know what I mean? So yeah, he's done really well coming back into the side. He did well in under-23s games and some behind closed doors fixtures they had before. You know, when he was recovering. But yeah, Saturday he looked like he seamlessly fitted back into that back five.
The last game he played was 27th of November. So what's that? December, January, February. Basically almost 3 months. So yeah, it's a lengthy layoff. And you're right. Obviously, he's come back in and hit the ground running, like I agree with. And hopefully it continues on Saturday. I think he also offers that bit of class on the ball. You know, we were saying about Hutch, but obviously Ballard is almost like a ready-made replacement, just a bit taller than him. So yeah, it should be exciting there. I mean, for the forward line, obviously we mentioned about Bennett being injured and Bennett coming back in. I do feel for Rowe in that sense because obviously, we played Fulham, we lost 3-0. Then he's gone for this, you know, 2-1 win against Cardiff. He went for Burke and Afobe up front with Wallace in the 10, you know, kind of trying that for the first time. And you look at the three of them, Burke, Wallace, and Afobe, real pedigree at a championship level as well, and been around for a little while and kind of made a name for themselves. Burke, not so much, but he's obviously quite keen to put the wrongs right in his career. Burke then gets injured in the first half of that game, comes in Bury. Bury takes his chance. And then the next game, we're playing Derby. And then obviously, by that point, we've not got Benikophobia because I think he got injured, didn't he, as well? So it's like, where is the kind of, you know, the opportunity for Wright to pick a set 11 and a settled striking force, mate? It's tough, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's credit to the players and Gary Rowett that we've done so well in these last four matches because there has been quite a lot of changes. Don't think we've named, well, obviously Blackburn, obviously we didn't play, so we named an unchanged side for the next game. But I think every other game since then, we've had someone different in the side. I could be wrong on Saturday, actually,
I think it
for
was the
the
first
Derby.
unchanged 11 I've seen in a long time on
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah. So, but, you know, a lot of the time this year, we have had to change the team, whether that be, you know, that most of the time that his hand's been forced to do that. So no, I think that's credit to Gary and the players. The last couple of games we've been superb. And Saturday, okay, there wasn't, you know, both teams didn't show that much quality and we took our chance. But what I was so impressed with on Saturday was the grit and determination to see the win out after we got the goal because we looked so they did you could see they were knackered. They were absolutely knackered after probably 65, 70 minutes. And they just stuck at it, and that's all we ask as fans, just to keep trying, keep going, and they got their rewards.
Definitely. I feel like the one big changing factor, I feel like when I'm looking through the statistics in the last few games, it's the shots on goal. We played Blackpool, we gave away five shots on goal, and Bart was forced to make a few saves. And I think we played Sheffield United and they only had two shots on goal in the whole game. By shots on goal, I mean shots on target. I feel like the defence is doing their bit, obviously throwing their bodies on the line and, you know, like you say, kind of giving everything they've got to try and get over the line and win the game. But it's just that kind of defensive resilience we've not really seen this season. And, you know, clean sheets are starting to appear now. Obviously, we've got one on Saturday. We've got one against QPR. There's starting to be a little bit of a kind of rolling motion, especially in the home games. I think three in our last four home games have kept clean sheets. I guess the challenge now, mate, is to go up to or go sideways to Reading or whatever way you want to look at it geographically, and just kind of get a good clean sheet on the road and hopefully a couple goals go with it.
Oh, absolutely, and I think we're more than capable of doing it. I was Points were saying today how you know they his sides lack of discipline, and he's almost seen in the first couple of games in charge almost like a bit of a basketball match. What he meant by that was they attack, they defend, they attack, they defend. There's no middle ground. They seem to attack and then they get counter-attacked. So, you know, as a team like we are, if we can get the first goal, it'll be crucial, I think, because they'll attack and hopefully our defense stand strong. And then when we do get the ball, we've got so much such pace to go forward and hurt them on the counter. And you know, if we get it right a couple of times, we could score a couple of goals easy.
Definitely. Mill have kept three clean sheets on the road this season. Can Kai name all three clean sheets?
Right, this is difficult, this one. You've really put me in here. I'm
And
gonna
if you're
think.
listening or you're watching, be sure to maybe pause the pod because I'm going to give you the answers in a second, and see if you can guess in the comment section below what's the three clean sheets that we've kept so far this season away from home.
Oh, this is
Come
really
on, mate.
difficult, this one. Right, let me have a think. Let me have a think.
One was it New Year's, just before New Year's, backs against the wall performance.
One was Barnsley.
Yeah, Barnsley happened. Yeah, that's true. Murray Wallace stepping up in the last minute.
Just before, Coventry.
Yep, Coventry.
And third one, was it
The
the turn
third
of the
one
year?
is a very forgettable game, and you kind of forget we played that game earlier in the season, and got a nil-nil
Was it
on the road.
Blackburn? We didn't
No.
concede against them.
Not yet.
We got an unforgettable nil-nil, did we?
Yeah, because I kind of forgot we played them away this season already, to be honest.
Who is it? I don't know.
They play in Wales.
Is it Swansea?
Yeah, we drew a nil-nil at Swansea.
I completely forgot that game happened too, to be fair.
Correct. I think it was in September, mid-September at the time. And obviously, I think we just got our initial win against Blackpool early in the season. Obviously, we waited for that win, and then I think we might have had one home game, and then had that Swansea trip. And it was, yeah, kind of forgot about, to be honest, at the time. But there you go, three clean sheets away from home. Hoping we can make it a fourth on Saturday, and hopefully, kind of keep this momentum going, mate. I mean, are you, what kind of team are we expecting? I said, obviously, I refer to Afobe being available for selection again. He wasn't risked on Saturday, and I think Wright said he was only on the bench purely as a last minute kind of thing if we needed him in the game. And obviously, we had the injury in the first half with Bennett, but he didn't bring him on at the time. I don't know how much I believe of that. I guess he's probably thinking, you know, at this point, he's probably available for selection, but with Bennett getting injured and we don't know how severe that'll be, he needs to think long term at the time and thinking going into game got ready and we need him available, I suppose, with the options limited. Do you think he'll be back in on start 11 on Saturday, Bennett Afobe?
I think he might be. It depends whether he wants to play a 5-3-2 and play the extra man in the midfield, or play a 5-2-3 and play that extra man up top. I
See,
think he'll play Bennett.
that's my sneaky suspicion. I've got a feeling if he's thinking, obviously, Bennett's injury, fortunately, is only a couple of weeks, it seems. And with that in mind, obviously, we've got Reading this weekend. I think we've got Blackburn Tuesday night. And obviously, then we've got Middlesbrough on Saturday at then. So after that, you've got Middlesbrough and Stoke and then an international break. So what's that? A block of five games. You want Afobe fit for all five. And obviously, Bennett being injured, Burke being injured, Freeman being injured, Ojo being injured, going up to this kind of five run of five games for the international break. If we still want to be within the touching distance of the playoffs, even talking about it is, you know, something I couldn't fathom 4 games ago. I suppose you want to win maybe three of them and get 9 out of 15 points, maybe 8 out of 15, win three, win two, and draw two and lose one. But you still want to be in and around it, don't you, Kai? So a part of me feels like, with the manager's nature, I feel like, you know, he might be thinking longer term. And it wouldn't surprise me if I saw George Evans play in a midfield three with obviously Jed and maybe Bury up front on Saturday. I don't know what you reckon.
The first point is you're not backing us to win 9 in a row.
I mean, if we won nine in a row between now and international break, cool. Come on, let's think of a forfeit. No, I can't do it. I'm not going to commit because it could happen. You never know. But
Come on, do it, because I'm doing. It looks like I'm doing my Bournemouth one at the end of the season. You've got to do it. You've got to do
I'll
it.
do a
Well,
dirty
how
pint.
about
How about that?
we just.
I'll do a dirty pint that you and Mickey can make a contraption for me of all sorts of drinks if we do nine in a row by the international break. How about
Sounds good to me. Or how about, because Mickey's not here, we could just choose one for him? That's
that?
fair, isn't
What are you thinking?
it? What for Mickey?
Yeah.
Don't know, it's difficult.
Come on, you suggested it. You gotta have one on the top of your head that you gotta think of.
Well, I was thinking the classic old ice bucket challenge. Well,
Okay.
it's probably not cold enough, is it, for that?
We'll get him to do maybe the cinnamon challenge. How about
Yeah,
that?
good shout.
But yeah, back to the team news. I mean, I'm expecting, I'd like to see a Afobe start. I personally am a fan of us playing, you know, 5-2-3. But if necessary, I suppose a 5-3-2 at Reading, try and control the game, keep the ball, frustrate the home fans. I mean, Reading seem to be kind of putting themselves away from relegation. Derby keep losing games at the moment, and I think that's doing them the world of good for Reading's case. Obviously, Paul Lynch in charge there. Personally, I don't think I've seen a lot of Paul Lynch in his managerial career, obviously back 8 years ago. I'm not expecting anything magical from Reading, to be honest. But I mean, you was on a Reading podcast not long ago, earlier this evening. Are they excited for the game? Did you get any impressions of what they're expecting for Saturday?
You know, his overall feeling was very much he felt nervous for the game. I think that's probably the overall Reading feeling towards the game, really. Obviously, with us being on such a good run, but as I said to him, with us being on such a good run, that worries me even more when it comes to a game like this. But hopefully, we can be the new Millwall almost, because obviously, old Millwall would tend to, you know, mess this up. But that's obviously me being a Millwall fan for, well, what is it, 15 years? It's quite a long time. Not as long as my granddad. My granddad's been a, but he even says the same himself. You know, that he thinks this could be the game that ruins it for us. And, well, not ruins it for us, but we lose, and, you know, we mess it up on. But I think we could win this, and hopefully we do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm confident. I am confident. Hopefully we can go into the game, like I said, and just kind of throw caution to the wind and just play on the front foot, more importantly. And I think we've been doing that the last four games. I see no reason why it won't change. I'll give you my team whilst you're doing something that I requested on text. I think it'll be Bartek Bielkowski in goal. I expect it to be Wallace, Cooper and Daniel Bullard at right centre half. Danny Mac right wing back, Scott Malone left wing back. I think it'll be a midfield three. I'm going to go Mitchell, Saville and Evans. And I think it'll be a front two of Bury and Wallace. What do you reckon, mate?
Okay, I've tried to change it now, so we'll see what happens with the.
Much better. Much
I
better.
took these AirPods out because they were making a noise. There was something going on, and then I obviously gone to the MacBook, and it's still this that's still making a noise as well. So I've changed it now, so it should be all right. But I'm gonna go for three attackers. I reckon. I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna go for Barton goal, Danny. I was about to say Hutch there. Ballard, Murray Wallace, Coops, Malone. It's habit to say Hutch. It's always habit to
It
say Hutch,
is.
Coops all the time. Saville and Billy in the middle, and I'll go for Jed, Bennick, and Tyler Beery up top.
Nice. I just think I'll be pleased to see Benfica start on Saturday, but I think he'll have an eye on Tuesday at Blackburn as well, and I think he'll be thinking, is the phobia 100% yet? Maybe we just need to ease him back into the fold, and maybe if the game's in the balance, half hour to go, I think phobia would be a good sub to bring on. I do feel like the last couple of games. Lovelace came on Saturday and done, really well, kind of trying to get the ball held up in the corner towards the end of the game. I do feel like when it's half hour to go and the game could be in the balance, you might want someone like a Fabian on the bench to bring on. But we'll have to wait and see. We won't do any parts today. We'll go straight into the next topic of conversation, mate. And that is, according to Aldo, Alex Aldridge, ex-South London Press fame, maybe a guideline for you to follow once upon a time, mate, here, Kai. Obviously, with you doing your little venture into South London Press match reports and like minute by minute tweeting and all that stuff you're doing on the journalism side, he's returned to the Den, mate, after a 2-year stint in Stoke as director of football slash director of recruitment, if I'm not mistaken. What's your initial thoughts on that, pal?
I think you've called it straight away. I think you called it a couple of weeks ago, didn't you? When you
I
said you were
did, yeah.
director of football. But no, I think it's good. I think it's good that we've got a director of football. Obviously, he made some pretty good signings last time he was here. Obviously, Jed, Coops, Hutch coming in. I think even Bart when he was still here, or came in when he was still here. Obviously, disappointing with some other signings like Bolvarsson. Mahoney hasn't really got going, but I do think there's a player in there somewhere. But players like Bolvarsson's the one that I'm disappointed with, and he's made a couple of signings like that think, oh, that's a bit dodgy. But obviously, Harvey Bustle's left, and the quote to Rich and South London Press was it was a club decision, which is quite a it's obviously only a couple words, but it almost it gives you
A sour taste in the mouth.
yeah, it does. It gives you like a bit of a thing where you go, oh, I wonder what's happened there, or and I think no, I think him coming back in a director of football, I think that's a good thing. Head of recruitment, obviously he's got a couple more years under his a bit of experience now, and hopefully he can put that into action with bringing players in. Hopefully it'll be a good appointment, but obviously only time will tell.
They've merged the two roles. So it's Director of Football Operations and Recruitment. I'll read the statement. I'll also read the quotes from Berylson in particular. He goes, so Lions chairman John Berylson told millwallfc.co.uk, we're excited to welcome Alex back to Millwall, a club he knows inside out from his extensive experience as part of our recruitment processes in the past. He has extensive expertise in a variety of areas and comes back to us with real commitment and drive to help take the club forward on and off the pitch. I previously mentioned that this summer was a big one in terms of recruitment, and Alex will get straight to work alongside Gary and the first team management in order to ensure it's as productive and successful as possible for both the now and for the future. Audrey said, I'm delighted to be rejoining Millwall and will work tirelessly in my new role to support Gary, Steve and the board in achieving the club's long-term objectives. It has been evident from our recent discussions that we have shared ambition to drive the club forward in a number of areas, and I'm very much looking forward to the challenge. Yeah, I agree with you there. It's all like everyone seems quite happy about it internally at the club. I agree with you on the Harvey Bustle one, but we'll park that to the side just for a minute. Kavanagh also done a statement today announcing about season ticket prices being frozen, which I'm really chuffed about. I think it's probably something I'll park to the side and leave till Mickey's back, because, you know, getting club issues and talking to Mickey, I think it's probably an interesting one, obviously, and a good topic of conversation there. But he also referred to Alex and said about, you know, the long-term vision of the club and the long-term process they want to try to go down here, Kai. And you're right, and obviously mentioning that, I've mentioned it before in numerous podcasts, where there's a lot of faith in the manager. The manager picks his players. He gets his shortlist, it feels like, from the recruitment. But the manager gets the final say. Maybe this might be a start of moving towards the more modern kind of style of recruitment in the Premier League, Championship now, and maybe less of an emphasis on what the manager wants, but working with what the manager wants, but also what the club has long-term vision. Because, you know, once the manager goes, there's often a two or three window period where he upheavals the squad, changes what he wants. Whereas if you've got a consistency of what Millwall want as a club, then hopefully that kind of helps aid the process of when a manager leaves, a new one comes in and works with the players.
Yeah, I think that can only be a good thing. And also, I picked up on a bit what Berylson said. Obviously, he said that, you know, this summer is going to be a big one. I think, is it right in saying that he said he's going to work with Gary, Alex and Gary will work together to make it as productive as possible? He said that.
And Steve as well, yeah.
Steve. So that sort of tells me that potentially Gary will be here next season if he said that. So obviously, you know, they're not going to work together in the summer if you wouldn't, unless obviously something dramatic happens in the next, 12 games. And he goes, but you know, there's obviously no reason why there's big rumors that his contract was up and stuff like that. So time will tell him what the case is there. But I think it's good. I think you know, it shows that statement shows that Berylson's got a lot of trust in him. As I said before, only time will be able to tell whether it works or not. But I think, as you said, I think it's good that we're moving forward a bit more modern rather than the old way.
I know, reading through Twitter and the reaction to it, a lot of people seem to be quite kind of mixed about Aldo returning. Obviously, he left us to go to Stoke, and I remember at the time Rowett done an interview saying he was quite surprised to see him go, didn't see it coming, didn't expect it. So it's clear to see that, you know, it wasn't a club decision like it is with Harvey Bustle, for example, where a club decision means he's gone and they've replaced him with someone else they want. Again, a strange one, but again, I'll probably leave that one for Sunday when Mickey's back. But with Aldo, he went to Stoke, and I think I kind of searched his name and Stoke on Twitter, and the manager, Mike O'Neill, was quite complimentary of him at times with the signings he helped aid to bring to the club. And I think a lot of people were wondering what he'd done at Stoke to then come back to Millwall. And I think the general consensus is that from Stoke fans anyway, not many of them are talking about it, but from what I saw, a lot of fans are quite shocked and surprised to see him come back to Millwall. So I guess that's a good indication that, you know, we might have, you know, someone coming up with good contacts in the game. And obviously, hopefully, the shortlist that Stoke had planned for this summer, for example. But it's interesting one that, you know, Stoke were quite sad to see him go. And O'Neill was quite complimentary of him whilst he was there as manager of his time as director of football.
Yeah, I think that's one something that I do as well when you sign a player, especially when obviously we've signed, more of a someone for the behind the scenes. But, you know, when you sign a player, you tend to look at their fans' reaction of whether they're sad to see him go. Mm-hmm. If they're sad to see him go, then it gives you a lot more confidence. Maybe, you know, we have got the right man here and we, you know, he's going to be good for us. And maybe that experience at another club for Alex Aldridge, obviously, I think, am I right in saying, I know Mickey mentioned on the podcast, but I think he's a Millwall fan.
Supposedly so. Yeah, he obviously used to do the journalist side as well. So he's obviously got really good knowledge of the club, hasn't he?
So if he is a Millwall fan, then, you know, maybe Millwall was in his comfort zone as such, because obviously being a Millwall fan, you feel comfortable with your own club. And then obviously going to Stoke might have given that a bit more experience and that a little bit more experience of working outside that comfort zone almost. And maybe he comes back to Millwall, you know, with a lot more, with more contacts, with more experience, with more knowledge of more football stuff, how he can progress in stuff like that. Hopefully that would have done him the world of good.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's obviously, you know, like I said, hopefully it's you know, everyone's happy with the decision. It clearly seems that way. And I think, again, I can't really comment on his time at Mill beforehand either. Obviously, we know the players we signed whilst he was here, but you don't really know how much of his involvement is. But I do feel like with the announcement and, you know, putting his face all over it and stuff like that in this club statement, it does feel like it's a, you know, a here and now decision, but also one for the future where, you know, we can get behind him as the director of football operations and recruitment to try and, you know, drive a vision of what us as Mill fans want. And hopefully that is something that, you know, as we said, hopefully he's a fan or was a fan before and still is a fan. And he should know clearly what Mill fans want and expect from their players.
Yeah, definitely. He's only 28, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, if our injury crisis gets any worse up front, we could stick him up there. see what he's running. Get his boots on. But I think you're right there. I think you summed it up well. I think he was the youngest ever head of recruitment, wasn't he? When he was 20, I think he was 23 at the time.
I think so. Yeah.
So you know he's obviously done well to get into that position. So hopefully you know he'll come out, obviously come back from Stoke, and you know hopefully that's only helped him.
Definitely. I think just to obviously go back to the Stoke stuff. He was name checked for the main kind of role to play in the Mario Frankic signing, and obviously, you know, Frankic is quite a key player for them, and was at Norwich City before. It'd be interesting to, you know, because obviously at Stoke, I imagine they had a bigger budget to work with. I imagine they have bigger kind of, you know, transfer budgets in the summer. But obviously, with the intent from the club and what Berylson's saying, he's obviously hit home again in his statement from when Aldo's come back. Obviously, there seems to be maybe a war chest looming that hopefully we can spend wisely and recruit wisely, because we all know about the summer that's coming up with all the players out of contract.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's key to have someone in that knows the club for a big summer like it is. Obviously, we had it on Chopper, didn't we? Where there was a lot of players out and, you know, contracts and stuff. We cleared a lot of dead wood out, and we brought a lot of players in that summer. And I think it's important for this summer, when we do have a lot of players out of contract, obviously, so we don't know if all of them will go or not. Hopefully players will sign new contracts, the ones that we want and stuff. Obviously the one that I'm talking about there is Jed. He's
yeah,
the main one, isn't he? But you know, there will still be players going any regardless of if Jed stays or regardless if Keith Dumbell stays, players like that. So hopefully his knowledge of the club and his you know, good partnership with the club and everything works well in there. Hopefully he can bring some good players and help Gary bring some good players in there if Gary's obviously still there. If it's a new manager, hopefully, you know, just the club can bring some good players in.
Yeah, bang on. I agree with you there completely, mate. Lastly, did you see that Tyler Bury was linked with Brentford? And I mean, who knows? But what I wanted to pick up on that was, is it could be complete paper talk and, you know, absolutely tired of the story in the first place. But obviously, he scored 2 goals in 2 games in the Championship. And then obviously now it's, what, 2 in 3 starts. It just shows that if you produce youngsters that can play in the side, even though it could be paper talk and there might not be a genuine interest there, I guarantee that the fact he scored 2 in 3 or 2 in 2 games in a row, it does raise eyebrows, doesn't it, Kai? And I think, you know, scouts will be looking at that going, oh, who's this 21-year-old? Why have we not seen him before? Or maybe they want to know more about him because he's grabbing headlines. And I think it shows, maybe we'll talk about the vision for the club in the future. If you have youngsters playing in the side that are good enough and you give them the opportunity to play and impress, it instantly puts a price tag on their head that, I'm not saying we should sell Bury. I don't want us to sell him. That's not the point. But the point there is that you can create your own assets and then you can use that in the future for transfers and trying to invest in the club and hopefully try to bring us on as we all want to see and hope.
No, I think that's right. And I think obviously his performances will always raise up. We'll always, you know, his performances have been so good recently that of course clubs will be interested. You know, as Gary said, I think Gary said to South London Press the other day, I think I read it. He said something like, you know, we last week I said how fans, clubs will be looking at Tyler, how we're, you know, clubs will be looking at Tyler now he's broken in. And then automatically there's an article of it. He said, I think Gary was almost saying that it's a bit convenient almost, and it's almost like a bit of, it could be paper talk. And he sort of almost like shut it down rather than, you know, said any more about it. But obviously I wouldn't be surprised to see players, you know, especially teams like Brentford looking at him. Because Brentford do like that model, don't they? Of bringing in players who, you know, with plenty of potential and you know, giving them, trying to get the best out of them and get that potential out of them.
Definitely, I think what was quite impressive in this article that Bury was saying is like, I don't focus on that. My focus on Millwall, on me working hard, enjoying my time here, and loving football. I want to keep learning new things, so all the other stuff on the outside, I just clear out of my head. I know what I need to focus on, which is trying to start every week, playing well and doing my job on the pitch. The other stuff is not my focus. My only focus is on my football. And I think, you know, that's quite, you know, clear there. And obviously he name dropped Billy Mitchell and Danny Mack, saying that's the motivation he's got there to work hard and train hard and work his way into the team and play like the homegrown talents, isn't it? So I think that's like, it's obviously he's got his head screwed on the right way, hasn't he, Kai? And even with Jed after the QPR game saying how happy he was for Bury and how he's a nice character, it seems to be that he's fitting right into the fold, and hopefully that continues for the rest of the season.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think that's the thing with the young players. It's always good to, for almost like a senior player, to take him under their wing almost. And if Jed's done that, it's only going to do him the world of good, because obviously we know what Jed does for us on and off the pitch in terms of quality, his performances and stuff. And you know, he's so good. Jed's so good in the local community as well. So you know, that's only going to help a player like Tyler Bury, you know, get that proper feeling of Millwall and learn and develop. And I think that there's no one better to have almost guide him than Jeb Wallace.
Absolutely, mate. And lastly, what's your score prediction for Reading Millwall on Saturday, mate?
2-0.
To Reading?
Nah, good, no. 2-0, Tyler Bury and Jeb Wallace.
Interesting. You know, I've not been positive for a few shows when we do our predictions deliberately because, you know...
It's, go 1-1, it's please.
Should I go 1-1?
Go 1-1, because we've won every single one after that. So.
All right, then. 1-1. There you go. What's I won't say it? What I really think. We're going to go 1-1.
You can say what you really think. I'm just saying because we've done really well since you've gone 1-1.
I think we're going to win 2-0 on Saturday as well.
Yeah. What did I you do. Say for Sheffield United? Did you say 1-1?
Sorry?
What did you say for Sheffield United?
I think I said 1-1 for Sheffield United as well. All right, 1-1. It's going to be 1-1, but Joe Boyce is going to score 2. How about that? And it won't be an own goal.
And they're not going to score.
Yeah, and they're not going to score either. So make it out what you will.
1-1, but we're both going to score 2 and they're not going to score. So actually, that could be an own goal and that could be a Jed own goal, actually.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's not going to score an own goal. So it's fine. He's going to score 2 goals in the Reading net. And it's going to be 1-1. That's what I'm going to say. We didn't really talk about Jed, but I feel like it's fitting to say it. Like, he's formed the last 4 games, mate, since he's come back in. He's been key, hasn't he, to that side? And we all knew it. Some of us doubted his commitment. You know, well, not necessarily doubted his commitment. We all knew his commitment was dead to the club. But I did wonder when he's injured in January. He's not been injured throughout his whole Millwall career. You know, what's happened here? But he's put that to the side after the window closed. And he's been crucial to the last 4 games, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been superb. He's been back to almost like the Jeb Wallace we know and love. His commitment on and off the pitch is commendable, and he works so hard. He works tirelessly in matches to, you know, to close players down, win the ball, and then when he does get on the ball, he shows that quality and that determination to do well for this football club. So yeah, it's really nice to have Jeb back, and hopefully he does well for us now from now to the end of the season, and hopefully, you know, we get many more years out of him, and pending if he signs that contract or not, well, we can only have our fingers crossed on that one.
We thought the writing was on the wall in January, so let's say the writing on the wall is for summer as well, and hope for the best. Plan for the worst, hope for the best. There you go. Right, we've hit our closing point anyway on today's show, guys. If you've enjoyed the show, be sure to like the video, subscribe if you're new, and obviously check us out on our socials at That Mill Pods. Kai, thank you for your time, mate, and hopefully Saturday is a good day for us all.
No worries, mate. Just for Mickey, number 52 is the number.
Nice, like it. I like it. Right, that's all from me as well, Omar, and thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll catch you hopefully on Monday for talking all things 3 points and 8.